You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This edition of It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, your partner for global wealth creation. Welcome to It's My Money. It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, South Africa's multi-award-winning boutique wealth manager. With me today is a director and the founder of Brenthurst Wealth, and that's Magnus Haystack. Now, Magnus, it's the time of year when we look back, and we must look back. It's important. And in order to look forward, we have to look back now. And it's also the time of the year of what I call the Christmas creep, Magnus, especially when it comes to South Africa, because every year Christmas creeps a little bit backward towards the beginning of December. And what people tend to say to me is, Lindsay, I can't speak to you next week because I'm on holiday, because it's been such a difficult year. And they say the same thing every year. Has it been a difficult year, 2025? Personally, I don't think so, Magnus.
You know, as far as the markets are concerned, it's been a phenomenal year.
Exactly.
I mean, the funds have been quiet. Clients have not been complaining. They've made tremendous amounts of money in virtually every asset class thinkable on earth. So it's been an extraordinarily profitable year for investors. And if you look at the American markets are at record highs, the S&P 500, the Dow Jones, global markets, South Africa. I'll come to South Africa in a minute. Emerging markets, Japan, gold, silver. The poor cousin of markets this year, believe it or not, has been Bitcoin. I think it's the third or the fourth year that Bitcoin will not be making a profit. So that's down about 10% year on year. But for the rest of the traditional investments, it's been an absolute cracker of a year. And people have made a tremendous amount of money.
Indeed. And what you said in your very well-crafted statement just now, you said, I'm going to get to South Africa in a minute, because you, I'm afraid, have become the pantomime villain over the years when it comes to South Africa, because you keep on saying you've got to diversify. If you'd have gone into this particular market overseas and compare it to the all-share index of the JSE, look at the difference between the performances. And as I said, you've got this unwarranted, I think, reputation. But this year, Magnus, something's happened in South Africa, hasn't it? At a macro and at a micro level. When I say micro, actually, that's wrong. A market level. Something's going on.
Many years ago, there was an economist with the surname of de Kivit. I think it was Pieter de Kivit. He's a Dutch South African economist. And he said that South Africa over the decades, progressed through political disasters and economic windfalls. And that was exactly what happened again this year. If you look at the political situation, you still have the ANC and the DA in some form of a coalition stumbling along. You still have confiscation of property. You still have the Bella Act. You still have all the boogeyman laws that have been coming. And yet the JSE is up 37% for the year. But let me put it into context. It's got absolutely nothing to do with the ANC, or very little to do with the ANC's economic policies. And what I mean by that is it's pure luck. The gold price started taking off in April. And so we're in a full-blown commodity boom. So our gold shares have gone through the roof. They're up 150%. Our platinum shares, our other resources sector, which is driven mainly by global trends. And despite the problems with the railways and the ports, you know, our exports are booming in those sectors. So the price, which is not controlled by the ANC, thank goodness, has just gone through the roof. Now, that is a major, major kicker to the South African economy if that happens.
Just before you go on, Magnus, just a quick one there. When you come to the ports and the transport of goods from and to the ports so that exports can be more efficiently distributed, there has been improvement, but a lot of that has had to do with the private sector, I think, private-public partnerships. But it has got a little bit better, and we don't have load shedding. Whether that's to do with the ANC or not, I don't know. But there is a little bit of credit due, according to some quarters.
There is a little bit of credit due, but it's the electricity situation has been a major improvement. That the fact that we don't have load shedding, that has been a major factor. Secondly, they are rolling out the distribution contracts for electricity. The government has just signed a contract with an Indonesian company, I think it's ICTSI, to run the port of Durban. It's with a Filipino company. Who also bought the Pearl Valley Golf Course while he was at it. So there are movements, and it could herald the start of a much more sustainable upturn in the South African economy. But remember, there was a famous economist many, many years ago, I can't recall, who said, look, if the fix change, your view has to change on the South African economy. And for the last 2 years, I've been saying my very, very urgent appeal to get go offshore has actually been toned down quite significantly and very happily putting money into South African market because the facts have changed. We have had a slight credit upgrade. We've come off the grey list. Inflation is under control. So I have no problem saying the allocation to South African assets has been profitable very nicely. It's about time that South Africans start repairing their balance sheets after 10 or 15 years of underperformance. So that's fantastic. But the crux of the matter is to come back to the offshore-onshore debate. That debate is long, long dead. That's everybody is offshore with half of their money or 60% of their money. I cannot find people who don't have money offshore. Likewise, if you look at all the asset allocation models of the big investment companies, Coronation actually admitted that 60% of their clients have taken their money offshore or they've swapped it into offshore assets. So people are comfortable with having a very large percentage of their assets into offshore assets, which is not linked to South Africa. And that's a pure diversification play at this point in time. I mean, you cannot get into AI or robotics or, you know, the high tech stuff unless you take some money offshore.
Exactly, the JSE.
You cannot buy it in South Africa.
No, it's not a vibrant exchange. Yeah, exactly.
That argument has not changed. So what I'm saying is, yes, the JSE has been one of the star performers, but it's very interesting, Lindsay. I was listening last week to a Morningstar webinar, and it's a global investment company, very, very large one. Mm-hmm. And they were discussing asset allocation models and emerging markets versus developed markets. And they actually said South Africa is not their favorite emerging market destination, which is very interesting. By the way, South Korea is, and they mentioned that Argentina and other companies offer much more compelling long-term attraction than South Africa. And the second point is, and this could be very significant in the year going forward, if you look at the net foreign buying of SA equities thus far this year, it is still negative. The foreigners are not participating in this stock market rally. And that tells me, they don't trust it. So one must be very, very careful to think, well, that's it, everything is fine. The foreigners are not buying the JSE. They're buying our bonds, unquestionably. Our bonds have been fantastic instruments for foreign debt or yield chasers. But the foreigners are not buying our equities.
You mentioned bonds, and I was speaking to a very well-known fund manager at a very well-known fund management company based in Cape Town. And we looked at the bond market, and it's been an astonishing performance since the so-called Liberation Day, where the South African 10-year bond was yielding over 11%, and then it got down very close to 8% in the month of December. And I put it to him, I said, well, the bonds have reacted first. The bonds tend to be the smartest of the markets, of the asset classes. They reacted first. Is it the case, I put to him, that perhaps the equities have lagged because people are sitting down and saying, is it worth it? The bonds have done this. So there's a few green shoots with grey lists and upgrades from rating agencies, etc. Will the equities be next? And he put it to me that, yes, they will be next. And SA Inc. companies are going to have a terrific 2026. Would you buy that argument?
if the ANC doesn't stuff it up with 101, if they just let the private sector carry on with what the private sector is doing, and that is saving South Africa, then I will buy that story. Everything is in place in terms of credit upgrades, grade listing. I mean, inflation is at 3.5%. Our companies have weathered the worst of the ANC for the last 10 to 15 years. They've trimmed down. They've managed to survive. They managed to survive and grow their businesses during this period of time. They just need a little bit of a tailwind, and they will do extremely well. And a classic example of that, and if people ask me right now, what is your favorite asset class in South Africa, considering all these various things floating around, and especially for more elderly people, I would look at the listed property sector. I mean, 5 years ago, it was uninvestable. The guys had problems with Eskom for a start. They had problems with rates and taxes. They had problems with city councils, etc. And they've managed to survive, restructure their portfolios. They've sold non-performing assets, improved their balance sheet. And right now, I'm putting money into listed properties for a safe and a predictable income going into the future. I'm not scared to say, as you get older, you want more predictability in your investments than you would if you were, let's call it, middle age or younger. You know, and I like property. I've spent some time studying the listed property sector, and I think it's offering very, very good value for conservative investors like me.
The person that I was referring to in a previous question to you, Magnus, likes the hospital sector. So we've got, and he's a person of a certain age as well. So you've got hospitals and you've got property. But whatever, whether it's a property company on the JSE or whether it's an AI company on the NASDAQ, the simple fact is that Brenthurst's principles do not change. Brenthurst Wealth is a company that promotes diversification. That won't change, will it? No matter what geographical sector is doing what.
Well, we're a global company. You must remember, we are creating global portfolios. South Africa is only one part of the picture. And it's an imminently better place to be than 20 years or 30 years ago, when you were forced by foreign exchange control regulations to have all your money in one basket. Nowadays, South Africans themselves, especially the wealthier South Africans, are global citizens. Their children are global citizens. Their grandchildren are global citizens. So you cannot grow a business or offer a service to the South African market if you don't have a wide range of skills, both local and offshore. And that's what we become. I mean, 70% of our assets are offshore, and they're staying there. I've not had a single client say, oh, I want to bring my money back, and the rand is so strong. In fact, when the rand dipped under 17 last week, I had a number of phone calls and guys saying, boy, I want to take some money below 17. It's a bargain. Because there are certain sectors in the world that you cannot get in South Africa, and you've got to take money offshore to get into those sectors. So nothing has changed. We live in a global world. We live in a globalized world, and nothing has changed.
Okay, nothing has changed. So nothing will change in 2026, steady as you go. If you're long of the market, stay long of the market. There may be a tweak here and there. You may go from 40% allocation in one particular area or asset class down to 38 and up from 20 to 22 in another. But not much changes, Magnus. Why change it if you've done so well in the year that's just about to pass?
Well, you know, it's a formula that's worked very well. This year, the SA assets have done very nicely, which is fantastic, because remember, I would say most of our clients still have 30 to 50% of their total assets in South Africa via residential property or commercial property or pension funds that are stuck in South Africa. They have seen a phenomenal uplift in the value of those assets. And as I pointed out earlier, those assets have not grown in dollar terms for a very, very long time. 2025 was the year where they started coming back. Is this a permanent feature? No, trees don't grow to the heavens. At some point, the valuations will kick in. And I saw this morning a report that the prescient chief investment officer was commenting that just be careful. There's been an adjustment to the valuations of SA equities, and they're now fairly priced. Mm. Be careful not to get too optimistic. That's normally when people burn their fingers.
And also the other thing is, if you look at a long-term graph at the performance of the JSC and the performance of the RAND and commodity prices in US dollars, they're very, very strongly correlated. And commodity cycles are cyclical. Just when everybody is so bullish, that's when something happens and it comes down and South Africa suffers. We are still a commodity country, are we not, Magnus?
We are indeed, and one of the signs that be careful is the oil price is plunging.
Yes.
And the oil price responds much quicker to commodity changes, and the oil price currently is telling you the commodity cycle is starting to look a bit toughish and maybe time to just go to the sidelines. Will you rush into the JSE with large amounts of money? No. If I had to sit now and allocate between SA and offshore, I still find compelling evidence of good value in Japan, emerging markets, even Europe. And I'm just safer having a nice globally diversified portfolio instead of something, an asset class that's totally exposed in one country. And the last point I need to make about the onshore-offshore debate is, one must also never forget a lot of people are very comfortable having their assets elsewhere out of the control or the immediate control of the ANC, and they're very happy to have a nice little nest egg in Guernsey or Isle of Man or whatever the case might be.
Yeah, but just be careful. And, of course, I'm promoting you, Magnus, and your company, but if there's a change in the law, or if you're getting too complacent about your portfolio, don't be. Always keep in touch with your financial advisor, because when you become complacent and everything's going well, usually something happens. So the importance of a financial advisor is probably actually more magnified when you are doing well than when you're not doing well. I don't know, but I'm rambling. But keep in touch with your financial advisor.
There are a lot of academic studies that have shown that people who try and manage their own stuff, they're invariably way beyond the market. They're always late to the party. But investment, and this is a very important point, investment advice today is not only just commenting or managing markets. You are having to deal as a global investment company with a variety of disciplines you need to give advice on. Tax, South African tax, offshore tax, inheritance, should you put your money in a trust, should it be in an endowment? It's become far more complex than simply just advising on investment. So investment advice is still a very important part, but we are spending now more time giving attention to the structure of your investment. Should it be in your name? Should it be in a trust? What about moving your assets from your name into a trust? Where should this trust be? What about tax? What about inheritance? What is about estate duty? So that's where normally where people really stuff it up. They try and do it themselves, and then they spend a lifetime building up assets. And by not paying attention to the structure of their investments, it all comes falling down in a heap by means of a bad will, a bad trust, or a outdated trust. And so what's the point if you don't spend time on the structure of your global investments? And that's where we are spending a lot of time, sitting down with our clients who've made money, some of them significant amounts of money.
Yes.
But the investment is in the wrong structure.
Well, this is interesting. In my inarticulate way, before you gave your explanation as to what Brentos has become, client to advisor, is that as you get richer and as you diversify more and you go into different countries, different asset classes, etc., your life becomes more complicated. It shouldn't become more complicated. You just hand it over with a fee, of course, to a financial advisor. As you get richer, it becomes more complicated is what I'm saying.
That's exactly what a lot of our clients tell us. They say they can actually spend time doing what they want with their kids, grandkids, and their hobbies. And they know, they trust, they have a trusted relationship that's been there for 20 or 30 years. And they're comfortable because they know the structure works. But because we do spend a significant amount of time and energy making sure that these things are in place.
Good. Magnus, have a very good Christmas and New Year. You've already given us your tip for 2026, which I won't, which I will repeat, actually. You like the property sector of the JSE, having been beaten up over the years. But I think 2026 is going to be a good one all round. Long may the 2025 mood continue. Yeah. And thank you very much for your contributions throughout the year. Magnus Haystack is director and founder of Brenthurst Wealth. And that was It's My Money. It's My Money was brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, an award-winning boutique wealth management company.